You are Locked On Jets, your daily podcast on the New York Jets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Friday, February 16th, and this is the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I am John B. from GangreneNation.com. If you enjoy the show, subscribe to it. iTunes and Spotify are among your options. If you do that, we will deliver the show to your device each day so you can listen whenever you feel like it, whether it's on a run, whether it's at the gym, on your commute. If you subscribe, we'll deliver the show to you so you can decide when to listen. And if you really enjoy the show, please give it a good review in iTunes. We certainly appreciate those who have done so. On today's show, the topic is going to be free agency. The Jets are entering the 2018 offseason with plenty of cap space, and we'll talk about what that means. But before we get into that, it is worth noting that there was some free agency news yesterday. A ruling came down of Bengals backup quarterback A.J. McCarron, who had filed a grievance to become an unrestricted free agent, which means he'd be free to sign anywhere. The Bengals were trying to keep him a restricted free agent, which would have limited his ability to move. It would have allowed the Bengals to seek draft pick compensation or retain him. And that dealt with an injury that occurred during his rookie season, which prevented him from being active. So to be an unrestricted free agent, you need 4 years of service time. The Bengals were essentially arguing because he was not active for much of his rookie year, that first year didn't count, so he only would have 3 years. And you know, I don't want to go too much into detail on this, but the ruling came down that McCarron will be a free agent. And I'm not sure that the Jets are necessarily going to be interested, but if you are a quarterback needy team, that is good news simply from the supply and demand standpoint, where when supply is greater, prices are lower. And I'm not sure McCarron's going to move the needle a whole lot, particularly on Kirk Cousins. I think Kirk Cousins is going to set the market. So from that standpoint, I don't think he impacts Cousins. I still think the Jets will be interested. I don't think Cousins' price goes down. But I think in terms of the second-tier quarterbacks, maybe it makes an impact with having an extra guy in there. And the other issue is, even if the Jets aren't interested in McCarron, maybe somebody else is. We know his former offensive coordinator, Hugh Jackson, is the head coach of the Browns. Amazingly, he's still the head coach of the Browns. And, of course, the Browns famously had interest in trading for McCarron. Actually thought they had worked a trade out for McCarron. The Bengals thought they had worked a trade out to send McCarron to Cleveland. And the Browns front office did not notify the league in time, so the trade fell through at the deadline back during the fall. So that, you know, maybe Cleveland's interested. Maybe that takes them out of the sweepstakes for another quarterback, maybe a quarterback the Jets are interested in. You know, who knows with the Browns? The Browns are a really weird organization. Maybe they think McCarron's the answer. I mean, would you put anything past the Browns? So at the end of the day, it's good news for the Jets because it's just another option out there, either for the Jets or McCarron will sign somewhere else and the Jets will be able to pursue other quarterbacks with one less competitor for their services, because that would take the team that signs McCarron out of the veteran quarterback free agent sweepstakes. Now let's talk a little bit about free agency and where the Jets find themselves. And you'll see all over the internet estimates of how much cap space the Jets are going to have, and I'm not going to provide that because those are only estimates at this point. It's going to be a lot, but nobody knows what the league has not set the cap yet. So the league doesn't like set the cap for 10 years in advance and say, okay, this is the cap for 2018, this is the cap for 2019. You only find out a few weeks before free agency. So that's one of the things to remember, is nobody knows exactly how much cap space the Jets are going to have, and it doesn't just factor in the lack of you also have the guys that are going to cut, the cap casualties who may or may not be added to that figure. It's not just about the contracts on the books for 2018. It's also about the guys the Jets may cut. So either way, though, you're looking at a lot of cap space. Now, will the Jets be aggressive in free agency? I think that's the question. I think to some extent they will. And I think that you have to look at cap space different from just the raw total number of space that you have, because it's part of a bigger picture issue with your franchise. It's one thing to be in a situation, say the Patriots were a year ago, where you actually had a championship team. Yes, maybe you had a key free agent or two like Dante Hightower, but the Patriots walked into last offseason with tens of millions of dollars in cap space, and they were able to make some big ticket additions, but they already had a really solid team in place. Whereas the Jets right now, they're going to have a lot of cap space, but they don't have much of a team. They're going to have to build a team. So it's not as ideal of a situation as people are making it out to be. The objective is not necessarily to hoard money so that you have a lot of cap space. The objective is to build as good of a team as possible. And the Jets have their work cut out for them because, again, New England last year after they had won the Super Bowl is an example. There are plenty of examples of teams that build cap flexibility and where they'll walk into the offseason with lots of cap space. But they don't have any holes either, which means that they can afford a big-ticket addition to take their team to the next level, whereas the Jets are just essentially starting out from scratch. So it's not that great of a position to be. It's better than being bad and not having cap space, not having flexibility, which is a position the Jets have certainly found themselves in at many points through the years. But it's not as ideal of a situation as I think it gets made out to be at this time of year, because yes, you have a lot of cap space, but you also don't really have many good players. And that brings us to really the reason that the Jets have this cap space. And I think it's at any point when the Jets have had a lot of cap space in recent years, it's been for one primary reason. I think the reason that the Jets have had a lot of cap space is after you draft players, you get them for cheap for 4 years. And your first round picks, it's really 5 years because the first round picks come with a team option for the fifth year. So you get players on very cheap deals, which is why the draft is the best way to rebuild a team. You can find premium talent and lock it up at low rates for 4 to 5 years. After those 4 to 5 years, though, those players become more expensive. And the way I view the Jets' cap situation is they are swimming in cap space essentially because they have not had many players worth bringing back on big money for a second contract. You don't have a lot of guys who have earned a second contract with this team. And even the guys who have gotten second contracts, I mean, some of them have not been such great decisions, like Brian Winters, I can go back with a couple other guys. Mark Sanchez, if you want to go back 6 years. And there were some other ones. Jeremy Curley's second contract didn't really work out, although there was a regime change that contributed to that, different philosophy. But even the few guys who've gotten second contracts for the Jets, they tend to have not worked out. So essentially what the Jets are looking to do is replace the value of guys that they drafted, make up for that in free agency. You're not going to sign your own guys to second contracts. You're going to sign guys from other teams to second contracts, which means that the Jets probably are going to be looking at spending a lot of money. And that's fine. I mean, that's something you have to do. Now, I'm a big believer in homegrown talent. I'm a big believer in building from within. And I think that if you look at the successful franchises in sports, that's what they do. By and large, they develop their own talent. But if you look at the Jets' specific situation, there is going to have to be a healthy investment in free agency. I don't think there's any way around that. It's not a question of whether they're going to spend in free agency. It's not a question of whether they're going to spend a lot in free agency. In their current situation, they almost have to. The questions, I think, that come with this are a little more nuanced. They're not necessarily, do you build through the draft or through free agency? Well, you have to build through the draft. The Jets are still going to have to hit on their draft picks. I mean, the biggest problem with this team for the last, 7-8 years, I mean, yeah, you could even go back, 08 was it? You could go back 10 years. It was the 08 draft, the 09 draft, the 2010 draft. Those were terrible drafts for this team. The questions are more about the specifics. Now, are you going to spend all the way to the cap? I'm not sure that's a good idea. And the reason I'm not sure that's a good idea is at some point, the supply of free agents, just there just isn't enough to build a team through free agency. And the other aspect of this, and it's something, it's a lesson the Jets have learned quite painfully through the years, and a lesson they've learned as recently as 2 to 3 years ago, is just because you spend the money doesn't necessarily mean you've replaced the value from high-end players on their second contract. Now, the Jets aren't going to have the players, Jets aren't going to have drafted players that they're signing to second deals, aside from Leonard Williams. You know, there may be an exception or two over the next few seasons, but just spending money for the sake of spending money doesn't help you either, because you stay bad, you just lose your cap space, and all you have to do is look back, again, 2 to 3 years to learn that lesson. I mean, look at the spending spree they had. They were in a very similar spot 2 to 3 years ago, 2-3 years ago, when Mike Maccagnan and Todd Bowles first took over. They had a lot of cap space. They didn't have a lot of talent. They essentially needed to replace all of the guys who were not on their second contract, all the failed draft picks who they were not re-signing. Those guys had to be replaced, because guys on their second contract, at the risk of overgeneralizing, tend to be players at the in the prime of their career. So the Jets were missing out on a lot of talent in the prime of their career as they constructed their roster. Well, the Jets spent a lot of money, but they didn't necessarily get great value out of the deals that they signed. And, you know, you can talk about, I mean, the ones I look at are guys like Marcus Gilchrist and Buster Skrine and guys of that type who made healthy salaries, but really were never good players. And that's kind of the danger in free agency is, and I've said this on the show in the past, the league is built to prevent the really great players from hitting the open market. When you look at, first of all, you just look at the violent nature of the sport. You know, your career could end tomorrow. So if a team goes to you and offers you a big extension, you know, the kind of money that you think could set you up for life, odds are you might leave a little money on the table, because tomorrow is uncertain. You know, you could suffer an injury tomorrow and then be out of luck and then never be looking at free agency. And then the league also has something which is unique in within North American sports. It's called the franchise tag, where a team essentially can keep you on a series of one-year deals and prevent you from hitting free agency if you are that valuable. If you're so valuable, the team gets one chance every year to tag you, which keeps you along. So that these things complicate free agency for clubs like the Jets, who are kind of looking to rebuild their roster and using free agency as a tool to do so. Are the Jets going to have to spend in free agency? Yes, absolutely. But that doesn't necessarily mean you spend all the money, because in many situations, you, as I said, you spend money for the sake of spending money. You don't want to do that. You want to bring in guys who can help your team for years. So, but that does, there's no rule that you have to spend all of your cap space this offseason. You have to look for deals that make sense, and you probably not, are not going to be able to fill all of your holes, because there just aren't enough good players out there to allow you to do that. If you try and fill all of your holes in one offseason, odds are you're going to sign some guys who are duds. So you have to be judicious. It's, and this is what makes the Jets situation so tricky, is that they need a lot, but the supply that's out there is probably not going to be sufficient in just simply one offseason. They're probably not going to be able to replace. You have to remember that they've failed in drafting for a decade. You're not going to fix a decade worth of failure in one free agent class. There just aren't enough good free agents out there to sign. So you have to be judicious. You have to understand that Rome was not built in a day. This was not. Now, look, do you want to see improvement next year? Yes. Do you want to see a big improvement next year? Yes. But you're not going to be able to fix everything. So I think a strategy where the Jets spent all the way the cap probably would not be the right one for this team. Instead, you're going to have to find smart, targeted deals. And, you know, maybe you roll the dice on a guy on a one-year deal. I view the one-year contract for a team like the Jets as something that makes sense, because it doesn't tie you long-term. You look for guys with potential, guys you think could fit your system. And essentially what it is, it's a tryout year for them to see whether it really works out, whether it makes sense for both sides, and then maybe you can look into a longer-term type deal. So, and then there are just deals. You have to play the market smart. You have to find the players who provide you more value. You've signed them to contracts that are less valuable than the value they provide. And sometimes that requires some patience in free agency. Sometimes it requires not going out and trying to make a big splash on day one. It's finding the better bargains, which tend to happen later on in the process. So those are my thoughts on this situation. Thank you for tuning in today. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you enjoy the show, you can subscribe to it. Your options include iTunes and Spotify. And if you do enjoy it, please leave it a good review in iTunes. Hope you have a great long weekend. We'll be back again next week on Tuesday to talk more about the Jets and the NFL.